Well, I want to welcome you to the engine room tonight. And we're in a series called Seven Things God Hates in the Church. And tonight we're going to talk about the sin of deception. And the framework that we're using for this series is Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. I'm going to read it. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So last week we saw that pride, what we call haughty eyes, is the starting point of every sin that God hates. It's the beginning. Pride is the first domino, and pride blinds us, and it convinces us that we are the ones who are in control, but it always leads to deception. And today we're going to move from haughty eyes to a lying tongue. Pride gives sin permission. Lying keeps it hidden. Now let that drop for a moment. Pride gives sin permission. Lying keeps it hidden. And nowhere in Scripture is that clearer than in the story of Achan. His deception didn't begin in his hands. It began in his heart, where pride told him that he could take what was God's and get away with it. And so we're going to be in Joshua chapter 7, starting in verse 1. And here's the first point that I really want to make today. And it's this. Stop hiding what God already sees. Stop hiding what God already sees. Joshua 7, 1 through 9. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho, by the way, where they had an incredible victory, to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and they spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will even have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and don't wear out the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? So Achan's theft of the devoted things was more than greed. It was rebellion against God's lordship. The Hebrew word for kerem means set apart. So by taking what belonged to the Lord, Achan desecrated what was holy. And his hidden sin fractured not just himself, but the nation's fellowship with God. One man's secrecy brought collective defeat. And after the triumph of Jericho, which was amazing, Israel grew confident instead of dependent. They got cocky. Joshua never sought the Lord before sending men to Ai. He just told them to send a reconnaissance team. Because when pride replaces prayer, we lose divine protection. And even Joshua, who's one of the greatest men of God ever to live, stepped into that. And so God didn't warn them because he had already spoken. His silence revealed their neglect. Sometimes God lets consequences wake us up when comfort won't. So when Joshua fell face down before the ark after hearing of those men dying, his grief was real. He didn't really wrestle with pride, but confusion. And yet, even in lament, his concern was about God's glory. The very end of that passage I read, he says, "What will you do for your own great name?" So Joshua's humility contrasts Achan's hidden arrogance. One man bowed down in brokenness, another buried sin in betrayal. Hidden sin today often hides beneath busy schedules, watered down worship. We bury resentment, addiction, unforgiveness, pride, cynicism, and many other sins, just like Achan. But the God who searched Achan's heart and the God who searched Achan's tents still searches our hearts and our lives. You see, revival never begins with more effort. It begins with brutal honesty. Number two tonight, let God reveal what we can't heal. Let God reveal what we can't heal. Let's look here at verse 10 of Joshua 7. The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That's why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they've been made liable to destruction. And I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. These are the devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. In the morning, present yourselves, present your tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord chooses shall come forward clan by clan. The clan the Lord chooses shall come forward by family by family. And the family the Lord chooses shall come forward man by man. Whoever is caught with a devoted thing shall be destroyed by fire along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel." Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen. The clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. And then the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was chosen. Joshua had Zimri's family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. So God interrupts Joshua's grief with a command. Stand up. Sorrow had done its work, and now obedience must follow. And so the Lord's indictment was not an individual indictment. It was corporate. Israel has sinned. See, this is something we need to understand. Covenant unity means that one person's defiance affects all. Under grace today, as new covenant believers, the same principle remains for the health of Christ's church. The health of Christ's body depends on the personal holiness of each member. Each one of us that has a heart that's misaligned with God affects the full ministry work here at our church. And God's demand was clear. You cannot stand until you remove it. You cannot have victory until you remove this sin. God's presence never coexists with unrepented sin. That doesn't mean that we lose our salvation, but we lose the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit living through us because of broken fellowship. And so for the people of Israel, consecration, alignment to God meant cleansing and surrender. So the people washed, they prayed, and they waited as Joshua prepared to confront the hidden guilt that had cost the lives of many men. And so each tribe comes forward, and the circle narrows, tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family, until Achan stood exposed. Every step of that progression, I want you to get this, every step of that progression was God's mercy. Each pause was a chance for Achan to confess and save the whole nation of Israel from having to go through this. But he said nothing. Why? Because sin that hides hardens. Did you get that? Sin that hides hardens. When we hide sin in our heart, it hardens our hearts. The longer we conceal sin, the harder our hearts become. There is no secret that God cannot expose. The same Spirit who searched Achan and searched Achan's tent now searches our hearts too. God reveals what we cannot heal, not to shame us, but to restore us. God wasn't about shaming the nation of Israel. He was about restoring them. When conviction comes to the human heart, it's grace knocking on the door of mercy. But hidden sin destroys marriages, it weakens families, and it drains churches of power. And we see this over and over again in the media, on social media, online, as we see literal ministries dedicated to exposing hidden sins in Christian organizations, and they have more content than they could possibly ever publish. And that should break our hearts, because now we see the effect that a church who hides sin and leaders who hide sin, we see that effect on the entire nation of the United States. It's not enough to regret the consequences. Repentance must grieve over the offense. So Achan was sorry for getting caught, not for betraying God. And the whole nation, think about this, the whole nation had to go through the cleansing process when Achan waited in secrecy when he could have confessed publicly. And you know, sometimes many believers in Christ sadly do the same. I've done this in my own life, so I don't want to put myself above anybody else. I've done this too. I have been Achan in my own life. Verse 19 of Joshua 7. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give the glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I've done. When I saw the plunder of a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them." And by the way, God made it clear at the Battle of Jericho that God's people were not to take any plunder at all. And he says, "They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Notice, before the Lord, not before Joshua. 24. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him. And after they stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, the place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. So Joshua's tone towards Achan is pastoral, not harsh. My son, give glory to the Lord. Confession glorifies God by agreeing with God's truth. Okay? Achan's words were, I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid, right? Remember, that's sin's familiar path that we talked about earlier. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. So what began with a glance in Jericho ended with judgment in the Valley of Achor. The items were worth little in money but priceless in consequence because they belonged to God. Achan's sin reached far beyond his tent. 36 men died. Israel's victory was delayed. His family shared the burial site because they shared the concealment. Sin always spreads wider than intended. You can't hide it. And God's justice may seem severe, but that's because we don't really grasp his infinite holiness. God's holiness cannot coexist with corruption. And Israel was God's chosen nation. They were a nation state that was to be dedicated to proclaiming the magnificence of God's glory and redeeming love to the world. Judgment here was not cruelty, it was cleansing. Israel could not move forward carrying rebellion. More people would die. More people would suffer. This was about the fate of a nation that was called to represent God to the world. Yeah, and that place was named the Valley of Achor, or the Valley of Trouble. And it bore that name because Achan's hidden sin brought real trouble on Israel. Death, defeat, the loss of God's favor. And every time an Israelite passed by that milestone of stones, well, they remembered that concealed sin always leads to devastating consequences. And so the Valley of Achor stood as a constant reminder that what we hide from others is never hidden from God. Hidden sin breaks more than the rules. This is not about keeping rules. It breaks relationship, starting with our own fellowship with God. It harms marriages. I can't tell you as a pastor how many times hidden sin that had laid dormant for 30 years destroys a marriage within a week. I've seen churches divided because of hidden sin. Wounds of children because of hidden sin. And I've seen so many times how hidden sin quenches the beautiful redeeming work of the Holy Spirit. And so what does God do for us as believers? Well, he doesn't pour out his fury upon us. We don't stone one another. Now, God allows discipline because his love will not permit destruction. So under the new covenant, Christ bore our punishment, but not the earthly consequences of our choices. So we're not condemned because we hide secret sin as Christians, but we're also not immune to the consequences of the things that we do. Unconfessed sin still drains joy, fractures trust, and steals peace. So when you have your daily time with the Lord, take a look at your heart. Confess whatever sins are there. God has already forgiven you in Christ. And walk in fellowship with him. Because when conviction comes and we rightly understand grace, we don't run away from Jesus, we run to him. We run right into his nail-scarred hands and his loving and unbreakable arms, not away from him. The family that confesses stays tender. The church that repents stays powerful. See, what Achan buried in his tent, Jesus buried in his tomb. And our part is simple. Keep nothing hidden from the one who already bore it all.